Hello and welcome to this new episode of the Success Grid podcast with your host Hussein Talib. This is episode number 60 with Terry Tucker. He is the founder of Motivational Check and the author of Sustainable Excellence, 10 Principles to Leading Your Uncommon and Extraordinary Life. This is an exceptional episode. Hope you enjoy this one. Also, don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast, whether it's on iTunes, Amazon Music, or Audible, or any other service. Thank you. Enjoy this one.
Welcome to Success Grid, the place for sharing entrepreneurial stories, knowledge, and wisdom to educate and inspire you to always strive to raise your standards in your business and your life. With your host, Hussein Talib.
Hello and welcome to a new, exciting, amazing episode with the Success Grid podcast here with me, Hussein. Today's guest is, his name is Terry Tucker. He's a motivational speaker, founder of Motivational Check, and the author of Sustainable Excellence. Terry, how are you?
I'm great, Hussein. Thanks for having me on. I'm looking forward to talking with you.
Welcome to the grid.
Thank you. I'm really looking forward.
Me too. So tell us a little bit about yourself, your journey, where you've been, your story with cancer, and where are you now?
Sure. So I am the oldest of three boys. I grew up in Chicago in the United States and went to college on a basketball scholarship at the Citadel in Charleston, South Carolina. You can't tell this from looking at me, but I'm 6'8" tall. So basketball, yeah, seemed to be a natural progression for me. When I graduated from college, I moved home to find a job. I was actually the first person in my family to graduate from college. And I was all set to make my mark on the world with my newly obtained business administration degree. You know,
That was in what year?
1982.
Oh, okay. I wasn't born yet.
Exactly. I know. That's what I'm saying. You know, I mean, I look back and I think, gee, I didn't really know a whole lot of business just because I had a business administration degree. And as you know, a lot of it is hands-on and getting down in the trenches and getting dirty and figuring it out. Mm. So I found that first job in the corporate headquarters of Wendy's International, the hamburger chain.
Mm, cool.
But unfortunately, I ended up living with my parents for the next 3.5 years as I helped my mom care for my father and my grandmother, who were both dying of different forms of cancer. But in my professional career, like I said, I was a marketing executive. I was a hospital administrator. I was a customer service manager. I was a police officer. And while I was a police officer, I did undercover narcotic work. And I was a SWAT.
Yeah,
I know. At 6'8", you know, I did undercover narcotic work. But yes, I did. And I was a SWAT team hostage negotiator on top of that. So that was pretty interesting. Then I was a school security consultant, a basketball coach, as you mentioned, a motivational speaker. Last year, I became an author. But for the last 9 years, I've been fighting a very rare form of melanoma. Mm-hmm. And then finally, my wife and I have been married for 28 years, and we have one child, a daughter. She's a graduate of the United States Air Force Academy and is a lieutenant in the newly formed branch of the military here in the U.S., the Space Force.
Oh, okay, cool. That's cool. That's really cool. Amazing. So, sorry, but I have to get a little bit back. You mentioned that your grandmother and your mother passed away from cancer, and you have cancer. So it seems like it's in the family. Does cancer, is it genetics? Does it have this thing about it? Or is it like, it doesn't have to do anything about it?
It really doesn't. You know, I have this very rare form of melanoma that appeared on the bottom of my foot. And a couple summers ago, I had all 88 genes that doctors either know cause cancer or suspect cause different forms of cancer. Mm. And I have no mutations in any of those genes, which begs the question, how did I get this? And my doctor is kind of, I don't know how you got it, but you certainly got it.
The form that this kind of cancer, you don't smoke, for example, right?
No, I've never smoked. I've done everything right in my life. Exercised, you know, I had a physical exam every year, ate right, everything.
So, yeah, so I can get that. So the human body works in weird ways, I guess.
Yeah, unfortunately, a very weird way for me.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about this journey with cancer. What do you do about it? How do you go through it? How do you find the motivation to keep going? it's 9 years now.
9 years. Yeah. Yeah. Let me sort of just give you the progression. So 2012, I have a callus break open on my foot. I'm a basketball coach. Don't think a lot about it. But then when it doesn't heal, I go see a foot doctor, a podiatrist friend of mine, takes an x-ray, says, I think you've got a cyst in there. And he cut it out and he showed it to me. No big deal. Sent it off to pathology. 2 weeks later, I get a call from him basically saying that he's been a doctor for 25 years and he's never seen this form of cancer and that I should be treated at the MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston.
Let me get this. So this is when they saw your case, they don't know about this type of cancer until you came along.
He had never seen it. They were aware of it. It's a form of melanoma, which is a skin disease, but it's where it appears. My cancer appears either on the palms of your hands or the bottom of your feet. And then there's an even rarer form of melanoma that appears in your mucous membrane. So in your nose or your mouth or something like that. Whoa. So yeah, he had never seen this as a foot doctor, but the cancer hospital had seen this form. So they did a surgery to remove the tumor on my foot and they took all the lymph nodes out of my groin. And then they put me on a drug called interferon, which basically gave me flu-like symptoms every week after I took each injection. I took a weekly injection of the drug and I took that weekly injection for 5 years. So imagine having the flu every week for 5 years.
Wow. Yeah. So the cure, the medicine that they gave you basically maybe was healing or curing a little bit of the cancer, but at the same time gave you flu most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, the drug was not designed to cure me. It was just designed to kind of hold the cancer off until they had more options.
Hold it back, yes.
Yeah. So when they stopped the drug, eventually in 2017, the disease came back. And in 2018, I had my left foot amputated. 2019 came back again. And then last year, an undiagnosed tumor in my ankle grew large enough that it broke my shin bone, my tibia. And right during the middle of the pandemic, I had to have my left leg amputated above the knee. So that's pretty much my journey. I also have tumors in my lungs now that I'm being treated for with a clinical trial drug. So that's kind of how I got from 2012 to 2021.
That's a huge. So you basically got both of your legs amputated.
I got my foot amputated first and then my leg.
Okay.
Yeah. So I have one leg still.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So, and now you have it in your lungs. And it's correct. Also cancer. The same type? The same type of cancer. Moved up there?
It has. It is. My doctor told me that when I originally was diagnosed with it, that wherever it was in my body, it was already there. So it wasn't like they did something to make it move. Mm. The problem is we have a lot of very good diagnostic tools, but in order to see a tumor has to be the size of a pea, a garden pea that you would eat. Mm. And that's about a billion cancer cells, not a million, a billion cancer cells, the size of a pea. So it has to be that big in order to be detected by a CAT scan or an MRI. And it just took that long for it to grow that large so they could find it.
How do you find the motivation to keep this going inside yourself?
So, you know, I was asked what it was like recently by a nurse, what it was like to lose my foot.
Because it's too much. Because a lot of people, I don't know that much people personally have cancer, maybe one, I think. But it's exhausting.
Yeah, it's mentally exhausting. It's physically exhausting. It's emotionally. I mean, it takes a lot out of you. But I think you have to remember that you are more than the sum of your parts. And that's what I told this nurse who asked me what it was like to lose my foot and then to lose my leg. And I told her there was a basketball coach many years ago who was dying of cancer, gave a great speech one day. And I didn't understand it then, but what he said was, cancer can take away all my faculties, but cancer can't touch my mind, it can't touch my heart, and it can't touch my soul. And that's really who we are. I mean, this this body that we're in is just kind of a vessel to hold who we really are. And I didn't understand that speech in 1993 when he gave it, but I understand it a lot more now. And I get through this through a couple of things. One, when I call my three F's, I have a very deep faith in God. The other F is my family and the other F is my friends. So I get through it with that. And then I get through it with what I've developed over these last 9 years, my four truths. And, and these are things that I use to make decisions. Am I going to do this treatment? Am I going to get involved in this project and stuff like that? And so, I can give those.
We'll talk about these two things, three F's and the four truths later. But let me ask you first. You did a lot of things. You worked as a cop. You worked in narcotics, undercover. You were a coach, basketball coach, many things actually. So did these things that you did along your life span help you in any way to fight against cancer, or how did that come along?
I think they did. I think my progression in my life, whether it was I had three knee surgeries when I was in high school and was able to overcome that and play basketball in college. I think one of the things
were you a good player?
Yeah, I was pretty good. I don't know if you know who Michael Jordan is.
Yeah, but of course. Yeah, I actually
I played against him in college.
Really?
Yeah.
You're joking.
No, I'm not joking. And my brother actually coached his two sons when they were in high school.
Wow, so, that's cool. So you played against him in like one match or more than one?
Just one game. I was a senior in college. He was a freshman.
Oh,
but that was the year that his team, North Carolina, won the national championship.
Oh, okay, that's good. So amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah, I you know, he wasn't Michael Jordan that we all know right now back then, but still, it was a great opportunity.
Yeah, of course. So yeah, that helped you along the way. So talk to me about your the four truths you talked about a little bit earlier.
So the four truths are just four sentences that I've come up with over these last 9 years, and I have them. If I'm looking down, I have them on a post-it note right here on my desk, and I see them multiple times during the day. So here they are. The first one is you need to control your mind or it will control you. I mean, we all know that our brains are hardwired to avoid pain and discomfort and to seek pleasure.
Yeah.
So whenever you do something that's outside your comfort zone, your brain is going to kick in and it's going to be like, hey, Hussein, why are you doing that? You know, why are you starting a podcast? You know, you might not know, you don't know anything about, but your brain puts all these negative thoughts in your mind and you need to flip that switch. And I mean, if you think about it, our brains can hold one thought at a time. Why would you make that a negative thought? Why would you have anything negative in your mind? So that's the first one. You need to flip that switch if it ever gets to the point where your brain is putting negative thoughts in your head. Yeah. The second one is you need to embrace the pain and discomfort that we all experience in life. And it doesn't have to be like mine, cancer. It could be, you know, you flunk a test in school or you break up with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, or you don't get the project that you want at work. Yeah. Whatever the pain that we all experience in life, we're all going to experience pain. Pain is inevitable.
Exactly.
Suffering, on the other hand, that's optional. That's you do with that pain.
Oh, I love that. Pain is
inevitable,
and suffering is optional. Wow, that's cool.
But if you take that pain and use it to make you stronger, to make you more determined, to make you a better person, that's a good thing with the pain. That's not suffering. But we all know people who sit down in there in the muck and the garbage, and they want people to feel sorry for themselves. That's where people suffer. So use that pain to make you stronger, to make you tougher, to make you more determined. So that's number two. Number three is one that I've added fairly recently. And it's one that I think we should all think about because it's kind of the end game, the end of our life. And here's the saying, or here's the truth. What we leave behind is what we weave in the hearts of other people.
So you're talking about legacy here, maybe, or something like that?
Exactly. Yeah. What are people going to say about you at your funeral? Would your ancestors be proud of the life that you've led. Things like that, that if you think about them now, instead of waiting till the end of your life, if you don't like what people are saying, you have a chance to change them. You have a chance to make a difference. I'm not saying you need to live your life for other people. I'm not saying that at all.
No.
But it's a good way to sort of examine your life and say, am I leaving behind a legacy that I'm proud of?
Yeah.
So that's number three. And then number four is, as long as you don't quit, you can never be defeated. Exactly. And so I use those four truths to kind of help me make decisions and guide me along my path as a cancer patient.
No, amazing. Because the last one you mentioned, nobody should give up, because if you give up and you go down and stay down, nothing in your life will get done. Nothing will get accomplished. You will stay in this zone of not growing, right?
Exactly. Mm. And that's, you know, as I said, we're all going to have pain in our life. And for me, my pain will end someday. My pain may end through surgery. It may end through medication. In all honesty, it may end because I die. But if I quit,
we're all going there.
We are, you know, but it's funny. When I had my leg amputated, I went to the church. I went to the mortuary. I went to the cemetery and I planned my funeral. And I had some pushback from that. I had people that were like, you know, that's kind of a defeatist attitude, you know, and I kind of looked at them like, just like you said, last time I checked, we're all going to die. You know, nobody's working on a cure for life right now or anything like that. You know, so I said, we're all going to die, but we're not all going to really live. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the important thing to remember, that as long as you really live, there's a Native American Blackfoot proverb that I really like, and I try to live my life by it. And it goes like this. It says, when you were born, you cried and the world rejoiced. Mm-hmm. Live your life in such a way so that when you die, the world cries and you rejoice.
I love that. Actually, speaking of living, for example, if we want to mention some people, like, for example, Bruce Lee, he died, I think, in his early 30s, something like that, right?
Okay.
But everybody now knows him, and I believe everybody in the future, in 100 years coming, they are going to know who Bruce Lee is. So exactly what you said, it's what you live for, and you need to try to live every day of your life.
Yeah, exactly. We were put here for a reason. There was a reason that whatever you believe, you know, I believe in God. Some people don't. I get that. And I don't want to put my religion or my faith on somebody else. But we were all put here for a reason. And I think it's important to find the purpose that we were put here for and live it. Because at the end of your life, the things, and I always tell this to young people, if there's something in your heart, in your soul that is burning that you want to do, but it scares you, go ahead and do it. Because at the end of your life, the things that you're going to regret are not going to be the things that you did. They're going to be the things that you didn't do.
Exactly.
By that time, it's going to be too late to go back and do them.
Yeah. You will be old. You will be, maybe you can't move. You may have a disease, whatever it is. So yeah, this is encouragement for anybody who listens to this one. To take action now, start doing whatever that is you're doing, whether you want to start a business, whether you want to learn some kind of skill, whatever it is that you should start immediately, like now.
You should. You're right. I mean, because we all, and when I wrote the book last year, one of the chapters I put in it was about, and I've done this, and it's the chapter that always resonates with me. It's that most people think with their fears and their insecurities instead of using their minds. Mm. You know, we want to do something, but that scares us, or we're worried about what other people are going to say about us, or we're afraid to fail and all that, so we don't do it. And that's not thinking with your mind. That's thinking with your fears and your insecurities.
Yeah, exactly. So speaking of your book, how did you develop or start the idea of that I want to write a book?
So the book really was born out of two conversations I had. One was with a former basketball player who moved to the area where my wife and I live with her boyfriend, and we had had dinner with them. And I said to her one night, you know, I'm really excited that you're living close and I can watch you find and live your purpose. And she got real quiet for a while and she looked at me and she said, well, coach, what do you think my purpose is? I said, I have no idea what your purpose is. That's what your life should be about.
This is what you should discover. This is what you
exactly. Totally. Find that purpose and then go ahead and live it. That was one conversation. And then I had another conversation with an individual who connected with me on LinkedIn, actually. It was a college student and wanted to know what I thought were the most important things that he should learn to not only be successful in his job or in business, but in life. And I didn't want to give him the, you know, get up early, work hard, help others. Not that those aren't important. They are. They're very important. But I wanted to try to get something deeper. Mm. And so I thought about it for a while and I wrote some notes. And eventually I had these 10 principles. And so I sent them to him. And then I stepped back and I was like, you know, I've got a life story that fits under this principle, or I know somebody whose life emulates that principle. So literally, I had my leg amputated in April of 2020, started chemotherapy for the tumors in my lungs in June of 2020. So during that 3-month period where I was healing, I actually sat down at the computer and started to build stories underneath each of those principles. And that's how the book came to be.
Awesome. Amazing. So tell us about the core or favorite principles that you wrote in the book.
So the one was the one I told you. The principles are not in any order. So, you know, number 9 is not any less important than number 1. But I'll give you some of the ones that I like. And one that I just gave you was most people think with their fears and their insecurities. I spent an entire chapter on the importance of listening. Mm. And I know people are like, oh, listen, you know, we listen every day.
Listen with the purpose of replying maybe or something like that, not just listen to listen.
Exactly. Instead of listening to reply, listening to understand.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I learned that, you know, when I was a hostage negotiator. And, you know, as a policeman, most of my interactions with people were face to face. And so I could see things, you know, if they were balling up their fists, maybe they wanted to fight me, or if they were looking around, you know, maybe they wanted to run. And I could do things, you know, yeah. I could handcuff them, I can put them in the car, I could do things. But as a negotiator, we weren't with the person. And so we had to figure things out based on what people were saying, what they weren't saying, and how they were saying it. So that was something I learned very early on, the importance of listening to understand as opposed to listening to reply. Like, you know, hurry up, Hussein, say something because I want to get my 2 cents in there. No, I want to understand where you're coming from. I want to understand why you said what you said and where that came from. And that way we can have a conversation. We're not screaming at each other or yelling at each other, because when you do that, you can't, you know, you can't understand what anybody's saying.
Yeah.
So that was another one. Failure. One of the ones I talked about was failure, the importance of failing often, especially when you're young. You know, we talked about that a little bit earlier of, I want to do this, but it scares me. You know, I might fail. So what? Who cares if you fail? You know, as long as you learn something, failure is a good thing.
Because in order to succeed, you have to fail. You most probably cannot succeed from the first time. You have to fall 1 time, 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, maybe 100 times to succeed, to achieve your goal.
Exactly. I mean, there's that old story about Thomas Edison, you know, who created the light bulb. Failed 9,999 times, but on that 10,000th time, he figured out how to make the light bulb.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So your job, as you mentioned, you worked as a negotiator. So does that work like in the movies?
No, it doesn't. It does to a point, but it's not a single person. There we have a team that if I'm negotiating with somebody, there's somebody sitting right next to me that's listening to the same thing I'm listening to. And writing me notes, you know, ask this, or, you know, don't stay away from this, don't say that. Mm. And then there's 2 or 3 other people that are actually gaining intelligence. So they might be talking to the person's, you know, mother or spouse or something like that. You know, why is he barricaded? Why does he have a hostage? What's going on? And so we're trying to learn things. So it's more of a, there's one person talking to them. And again, you know, just like in business, one of the most important things about that job was trust. Mm. You know, the person had to trust us. We never lied to people doing that job. And we had several people say, you know what, I'll put the gun down. I'll let the hostage go and I'll come out. But you got to promise me I'm not going to jail.
Mm.
Like, sorry, I can't promise you.
Because especially when someone is taking hostages, you're doing something wrong. That does, you cannot not take them to jail or prison.
Exactly. And that's the thing. You know, it's like, but you don't want to get them to focus on that. You want to kind of steer them somewhere else.
Yeah.
To
give up the hostages and then finish the situation.
And, you know, 90% of the time we were successful in getting the person out or getting the, you know, the person to put the gun down and come out. But then there was 10% of the time where we weren't, where most of the time they ended up taking their own lives because they didn't want to go to jail or to prison, as you said. Ooh. And, you know, I never lost any sleep over that. And I don't mean to sound callous, but.
But it's their choice. It's their choice. I mean, if someone wants to do something wrong, most probably, I don't know, maybe they have some issues inside, maybe. But I think 99%, let's say, they know what they are doing. So it's like the people who, for example, commit suicide. Whatever it is that for example, your story is amazing and you went through a lot. A lot of people go through a lot of things, but you went through like 10 times, maybe a lot. So yeah, so I these kind of people that go, they have a bad situation and go, for example, make a suicide or whatever it is. It's, I don't know, it's too much. Life is more than that. It's bigger than that.
It is. And I think that's the thing. You know, you've got to realize that you're bigger than something else. And that's one thing that team sports taught me, you know, that I was part of a team. And if I didn't do my job, I was not only letting myself down, I was letting the whole team down. And if you think about it, what's the biggest team game that we all play? The game of life. You know, we're all part of a team. And, you know, if I do something that lets you down, it's going to hurt you and vice versa. So, but a lot of people just think about that. It's about me. It's only about me. It's not, it's about so much more than you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So what would you say one takeaway from this episode?
Let me tell you a story. I'll end it with this. I'll tell you a story. So I've always been a big fan of Western movies, Cowboys and Indians
Clint
and stuff
Eastwood.
Like that.
I love Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, Clint Eastwood. Okay, so I don't know if you saw this movie, but back in 1993, the movie Tombstone came out. And it was about... two men back in the old West in the United States. One was named Doc Holliday and the other was named Wyatt Earp. And these two men couldn't have been more different. Doc Holliday they called him Doc because he was a dentist by trade, but he was pretty much a gunslinger and a card shark. And Wyatt Earp was a lawman his entire life. So these two men from entirely divergent backgrounds form this very close friendship. And at the end of the movie, Doc is dying of tuberculosis at a sanitarium here in Colorado. And Wyatt is destitute at this point in his life. He has no job, no money, no prospects for a job. And every day comes to play cards with Doc and the two men pass the time that way. So in this scene, they're talking about what they want out of life. And Doc says, you know, I was in love with my cousin when I was younger, but she joined a convent over the affair, but she's all I ever wanted. And he looks at Wyatt and he says, what about you, Wyatt? What do you want? And Wyatt says, I just want to lead a normal life. And Doc looks at him and says, there's no normal. There's just life. And I like that scene.
Cool. That's amazing.
It is. I mean,
what does normal life mean exactly?
And that's just it. That's what I want, I guess, to leave your listeners with. You know, you and I probably know people who say, you know, they're sitting back and they're waiting. Well, if this happens, then my life will be normal. Or if that happens, then I'll be successful. Or if this happens, then I'll be influential. Don't wait. Don't wait to live your life. Go out there, find the purpose that you were put on this earth to do and live it. Because at the end of your life, I can promise you, if you do that, you'll be so much happier and so much more at peace.
Very, very cool. Very inspirational. I love that. So where can people get in touch with you and get the book?
So the book can pretty much be gotten at anywhere you can get a book online, at Amazon, at BarnesandNoble.com, at Apple iBooks, anywhere there. To get in touch with me, I have a blog. I put up a thought for the day every day, and the Monday morning motivational message is usually a video or a story, and that's motivationalcheck.com. And you can also get access to the book there. You can leave me a note. You can get access to my social media sites, all at motivationalcheck.com.
Awesome, awesome. So it's motivationalcheck.com. Check as in C-H-E-C-K.
Correct.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Terry, for being here with me today on the Success Grid podcast. Amazing, amazing episode. Very, very powerful and inspirational, actually.
Well, thank you, Hussein, for having me on. And, awesome. You know, hopefully our conversation today will make a difference in somebody's life.
Well, I'm sure it will.
Good.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Success Grid. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. And if you found value in the show, rate and leave a review on iTunes. For more resources, visit successgrid.net. Until next time.